The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel you have reached the end. He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. When the enemy surrounds you and the walls are closing in, when the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where He's been, friend, there never was a moment that His arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure, God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel you have reached the end. He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. The answer will come, but only in His time. Stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move.
I'm in love with my Savior and He's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is He. Watches over me while I sleep. Hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be, and I now can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine. All right. You'll be happy if you will let Jesus have His way. He has work for us all to do every passing day. Feed the hungry and cheer the sad, for the sinner pray. You'll have joy that you never had, and you then can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine.
Somebody
he loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. I do everybody for their prayers, and I would ask that you remember Avery. She is the other girl that was involved in the incident at our home, and she's having a very hard time right now.
I want to say I love the Lord this morning, and he's so good. He's so good. Just things that's happened in the last few months. You know, we're human. And when the Lord saves us, he don't take that ill away from us. Well, we get mad, you know. You can be mad at a situation because it happened, but not mad at somebody, because hate and love don't go together, not when you're a child of God. And, it's just amazing. If you'll get yourself out of the way and ask for forgiveness for feeling that way, I think I wanted to stay mad. Have you ever been like that? It just made me feel better at the moment. I wanted to stay mad. Then God said, somebody in love with me. Just, and I asked for forgiveness. And God forgave me. And then the joy started coming. And then he started opening doors. And it's just a lot of things going on in my health. As y'all know, it has been for the last year. But I'm still here. I'm still here. And I've only went over the song one time, but then it's went with everything that was happening here this morning. The name of it is Empty Me, Lord. And that's where I had to get to where he could use me, because I was just angry and I was ill. I wanted to stay that way. But then God said, you can't love somebody and hate somebody at the same time. You can hate what somebody does, but you can't hate somebody. Ask for forgiveness. And I did. And he forgave me. And I even spoke to this person. I don't even know if she knew that I was mad. Probably did. But I hadn't spoke to her. But ain't it funny how God works? I'm so thankful to be saved. Reached down and saved an old sinner like me. And I'm telling you, I thought I was saved. Been baptized, thought I was saved. I was dry and come back up a wet center. Same thing. But I love God this morning. He's been with me through every step of the way. But y'all pray for me as I try to sing this. Like I said, I've only went over it one time. I may mess it up. But if I do, I'll mess it up for him. Y'all pray for me. Number 3.
Lord, I know when you save me, you fill me with your Spirit, and I praise your holy name. But oh, precious Lord, be a light that others see. Your Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, will you would hinder my sweet walk with thee. Now shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like you. Now when your light, Lord, is shining upon me, there's no hiding its wonderful glow. Family and children, my neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus, then all others will know. Thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee. Now shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like you.
I was hoping you was going to say that. Nah, I ain't got no time. But I'll tell you what, last week I got on yours. They didn't even let me talk this morning. Last week got up, supposed to do the welcome, and I don't think that was the end of it as far as singing was concerned. But this is my church, y'all. I joined last Sunday. And so I'm part of this. I want to be a part of it. I think y'all know that. I hope you feel that. I'm not here out of constraint. I'm here by choice, by desire, even, if you want to go that far. You know, this is a special time, and I hope that you know that it's a special time. God is moving, and he's up to something, and he's always up to something good. And so I'm so glad to be here. You know, I don't guess I've been here long enough to try to decide what your gift is, because you're very gifted. But one of the things that I sense, and I sense it every time I'm here, and I sense it again today, is that you have the gift of being real. You have the gift of being who you are. And that's not easy. That doesn't come easy. And it makes me very glad to be here, because I'm in the time of my life when if it's not real, then I don't want it. I want it to be original. I want it to be of God. I want him to love on us and us be glad to be loved on. But I also want us to love on him back. And so today, that's kind of what I'm going to talk about. Now, last week I got permission to get rid of this thing, because I'm going to tell you something. For an old man, I don't perspire, y'all. I sweat. And so I'm going to get rid of that thing. It's middle of June or whatever. And so I don't need it. You've seen it. So much for it. Last week we talked about not looking back. That taking hold of the plow, the goal is to look ahead because you got, that's where your business is. Nothing behind you that's important at the time. The focus is on doing what you're doing right now. And this is Eddie Baptist Church's time right now. Now, in my life, the way that I'm seeing this is that I've pastored one more church now, or I'm beginning to, than I ever thought I'd get to. And I think that's the reason last week I kind of got beside myself, is because I don't know that y'all fully grasp that yet, but this is like a gift. This is a second touch, so to speak. This is a second wind, and I want to enjoy every morsel of it. So you're going to learn from me, and you may not do this yet, and that's okay. But I believe this. There's a time to be serious. I know how to do that. There's a time to be loud, and I know how to do that. There's a time to be silent, and I'm learning about that. But there's a time to mourn, and that comes from the realness of our church. I love the way that Brother Randall does. Our prayer requests are not just something that we do. They are something that we feel, something that we mean. It's okay to hurt here. You don't have to put on a face. You don't have to put on anything, because this church has a spirit of realness. And I believe God honors that. So bring your hurting. Bring those that are suffering. Don't be ashamed to let it be known, because we're going to pray for you. And I've been through a few things lately myself, in the last few years, quite a bit. But it's only made God sweeter. And that's what we've got to do. Is when God lets something happen in our life, it's not to hurt us. It's not to bring us down. It's to build us up. It's to make us what we couldn't have been without it happening. And we don't get that sometimes. Sometimes we couldn't get here unless something had happened to us that we thought was tragic. But when God got done with it, it became something that cemented us, lifted us to Him, and made it better. And so that's it. So we're here, we're not going to try to hide and act like everything's fine. I don't necessarily want you just to smile if you can't do it. I want you to be who you are, and let us help you smile. And let's help each other smile. Let's be our brother's keeper, if you will. And so I'm starting out kind of with a new Bible today. I usually preach out of what I call my Caleb Bible. I thought I'd get his eyes then. I got a big old picture of Caleb in the Bible I usually use, but I don't know if y'all can recognize this picture, but this is a picture of Zachary, my son. And I got myself this Bible on May 11th, 2019, and so it means something to me. I'm not saying I ain't going to preach out of the Caleb Bible no more. But I'm saying today, because I feel like somehow, Eddie, that it came to me because of him. And so in a way, I guess we're going to honor God, of course, but for my part of it, I feel that I owe something to my son, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here right now. If it wasn't for the way things worked out and that I thought I wasn't going to pastor again, and then God just opened the alabaster box, if you will. And I want you to get this. Eddie Baptist Church is special. And you better get in while you can, because I believe God is going to rumble things. And I hope you want that. I hope you want, you know, they're building a subdivision over here, it looks like. I don't know where we're going to put them all. Well, we want them to come, don't we? You know? And so, hey. So, anyway, I wanted to mention that. I'm not going to preach on Zach today. But, you know, if it wasn't for Zach, I wouldn't have Caleb. If it wasn't for Zach, I wouldn't have Eddie. And if it wasn't for Zach, I wouldn't be using this Bible today. And so it means a lot to me. And y'all have wrapped me up in that. And you're loving on me, and you're letting me be real, too. And I need that. So God bless you for holding me up. Now let's talk about the one we came to talk about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the main one. He is the only one. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. And besides Him, there is no other. And so it's Jesus. That's what we want to feel here at Eddie. Jesus. How can we lift Him up better? How can we love Him more? How can we love others and really let Him know we love Him by loving others? So let's loose our love. Let's loose our forgiveness. Let's be merciful. Let's go the second mile if necessary. Let's turn the other cheek. Let's do all those difficult things that lift him up and make him pleased. If we don't please anybody else, every Sunday here, let's do our best to please him. Turn with us now to Matthew chapter 21. I got family here today. Yeah, Caleb, I know. Yeah, you're... Caleb's my favorite grandson. He gets mad about you saying that. All right. Still my favorite son. And I've got my sister and one of my favorite nieces here today, too. And old Carrie just something. I usually brag on Carolyn, but everybody knows she's somebody special to me. But my niece now, she was good even when she was little. I mean, she used to stay with my mother some when different things, Carolyn and going singing or whatever, I don't know. But Carrie was just, she was just happy doing anything. I mean, just give her something and she'll sit there and smile and won't bother nobody. And so I'm thankful for them to come today. They know what they mean to me. But I want you to know what you mean to me too. And let's work on that. Jesus now, when it comes to Jesus, you can't do too much. You can't praise him too much. You can't lift him up too much. You can't depend on him too much. You can't out-need his mercy. He's got the cattle of a thousand hills. He's not running low. And I want us to really be serious about in our heart elevating him when we're together. Elevate him every day of the week, but when we're here, that is our primary focus, to lift him up. Now, the world don't want that. And let's read now, there's some scribes and Pharisees didn't much like it either. And so the more things change, the more they stay the same. I know we're living in a wicked time, but it's been wicked quite a while. And God is merciful and God is working. But let's look here now in Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus is saying, or this is what's happening. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the ways. It was kind of like you see at weddings, they're throwing out the petals and something, you know, pleasant for the bride and groom to walk on. Well, they were getting it about Jesus at this time. They didn't understand everything, but they understood more than they had. And so the Bible said the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So boy, they're in a praising mood here. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Something going on here. Who is this? What's causing all this uproar? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and it wasn't like it ought to be. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables and the money changer, and the seats of them that sold doves, because they was doing it for gain. It wasn't about sacrificing to God anymore. It's about how much can we make out of the sacrifice. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. If we're going to be labeled, that'd be a good one. A house of prayer, a place where people pray. A place where people don't see prayer as a being put out on. They don't see prayer as just a common thing that's not really all that important. I remember one time I was listening to a radio show, not to criticize them, but to make a point. And the radio show moves pretty fast. I only got about 30 minutes, and sometimes they have singers, a lot of things. Got to get a lot in. And this man that was in charge of that particular broadcast said, well, let's just go ahead and pray and get that over with. You know, and I don't think he realized what he was saying. But sometimes I think that's the way our mind is, that we don't realize that what we're trying to get over with is really what it's all about. I mean, it's why we're here. It's how we talk to God. And so let's don't want to get it over with. Let's want to get every morsel out of it. And so here they are, and they're doing what they're doing. He's having to change some things around. So he goes in there and casts out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Somehow this is a picture we don't usually think about of Christ, you know. You hate to think about one of the times when he goes in the temple, especially at this occasion, that really it's not ready to receive him. It's not ready for him to even do what he wants to do because it's not honoring his Father. And we have a responsibility that when we come here that we're doing it for the right reason, that we're doing it for the right person. That, you know, and I mentioned this again in a little thing I wrote for a devotional, is that you're not my audience and I'm not yours. Jesus Christ is the one we're praising. Jesus Christ is the one we're worshiping. And it's all about him, and he's the audience. We're not spectators. We are participants in the praise. And so that's what I like about this church. When we start, it's just like when it ends. There's no time when we try to get it revved up or going. It's just open when you walk in. Let's pray for folks. Let's love on folks. What do we need to know that you can tell us? And that's what church is. And so the Bible says, you know, that's what's kind of happening, and that's what he wants to happen. And then he says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. He was okay with the sick being in the temple. He was okay with those that were not perfect, you know. You couldn't offer a sacrifice that had a broken limb or something that was spotted or marred because you're offering that to God. But when it comes to people, when it comes to the living sacrifice, when it comes to us, then he says, that's who I came for. I came to heal the sick. I come to mend the brokenhearted. I come to give deliverance to the captives. I come to give sight to the blind. That's what I'm here for. And so today, if you're hurting, you're in the right place. If you have a need, this is where you need to come. And we want others to know that. This is going to be an intensive care place. Bring us your lame. Bring us those that are hurting, and let's minister to them. Let them feel the love of God. Let them feel that they're wanted, that they're desired, and that we're glad they're here. And so, anyway, the blind and the lame came to the temple, and he's healing them. But some people don't want to see this. And I think this is where we got to check our heart, is how do we feel when something is going on that is ministering to somebody else? How do we feel when somebody else maybe is being given a boost or an encouragement or something when it's not us? How do we deal when it seems like that everybody else is stirred about something that we don't think they ought to be and we're kind of offended that they are? This is the group. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They thought Jesus was taking too much on himself. They felt like that Jesus was getting too much of a response, more than they thought he ought to get, and they were wanting him to put the people in their place and tell them not to do that. You know? And what they don't know is that praise is what we are. If you're saved by the grace of God, then there's nothing that stirs you like the opportunity to praise him. And I remember one time he said, listen, if these were to keep closed, if their mouths were to stay shut, he said the rocks themselves would start to praise and it'd be a mountainside of glory. But God wants us to do it. And he wants us to do it with everything that we've got to the point that some people think that we are overdoing it. We're getting to the point now. All right. And so, they're crying, Hosannas. You know, it reminds me of little children just sobbing and loving God and loving each other. And he said, and they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Yeah, he heard it. He sure did hear it. I want to try to give us a couple of points today about where we don't have to temper ourselves, or where we don't have to control, in the sense, the praise that comes from the heart of God, that we know where it comes from. It must be sincere, but if it's sincere, then it needs to be, we need to empty ourselves on it. I mean, just don't be afraid there's going to be too much. Let's see if we can't disturb the flesh in the world. And so, I'll talk about this. I was going to read a verse in Luke where it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Don't be afraid to lose it all. You know, just don't be afraid to lose it all. Now, I know in this world, you know, that's not what the world's telling us, and I'm going to give you just quick things on that. The world wants us to have what we deserve, they say. We deserve this. We need to have this. Let's celebrate me for a change. You know, it's not about everybody else. What about me for a while? And that's the thing. That's the tone. And so we're celebrating things that are crooked and foreign and perverted and you name it. But Jesus deserves it. We don't need to hold back here. We need to loose our praise and let it go. God, you are God. We honor you. I don't care what's going on. I don't care who has left us. You haven't left us, and that's all that matters. I'm going to probably say this through the thing. Don't be afraid to lose a few eggs along the way, okay? Sometimes we get worried about losing this and losing that and losing that and losing it. Don't worry about the eggs. Just stay with the goose that lays them. Honor him. Honor the source. And so don't be afraid to lose all the eggs in your life, all these things here and yonder. But, you know, in some cases, plan to do it, you know, because he is one thing. If you're a child of God, you ain't going to lose. You know why? Because you're not holding on to him. He's holding on to you. It's true. He's got you in his right hand. It's in the book. And he's not going to let you go. And so everything else is going to be shaken anyway, so that the only thing that's left is what can't be shaken. And the thing that can never be shaken from us is the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved our soul, who lifted us up out of the miry clay, who established our goings and gave us a song the angels can't sing. Just make sure that that is what you're looking to, and that's who you're honoring, and that's where everything's at, and that's what you're vested in. We had some misfortune that I call the greatest fortune that ever happened, but it was misfortune at the time. And I'm not saying this in boasting, because I didn't want this to happen. You know, a lot of times bad things that happens can tend to be and end up being something that I said earlier, you couldn't have got where you wanted to be or where he wanted you to be without it. But we went through a misfortune, had a business, I guess you'd say failure or whatever, and we lost it. We lost it all, so to speak. And but one thing that happened, when we was able to sell our home, then we had enough equity to pay off all of our creditors. That's a blessing, isn't it? I remember I told y'all this probably, that when we signed the thing over to sell the house and he had paid all the creditors off, there was a $15 need, and it was us going to need to pay it. So when we sold our house now, and it's a pretty nice house and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of equity in it and everything, but when it all came down to the end, he said, if y'all will write me a check for $15, then this thing is settled. No creditors. You don't owe nothing. And then I got to thinking, yeah, we don't owe nothing neither, but that's not the way it plays out. And so I remember telling Diane in the parking lot, you know, the next time we sell a house, let's try to get a check instead of writing one. I love that laughter. See, there's a time for that. It's going to be all right. And but here's the thing. And it's, the worry was in before we lost it. All this dread and all this fear and all this anxiety over what might happen. And then when it did happen, instead of trapping us, and it freed us. I can't explain that. But this is what that he's saying down here. Don't try to save everything for yourself. And that's what the world wants you to do. They want you to celebrate you and all of that. And we're not going to take it with us anyway. And so let's don't be afraid to lose it all. Just don't. Let's just don't be afraid, because what's going to happen is then who are you going to depend on then? I remember one time he said, "Well, y'all also go away." And they said, "To whom shall we go? Who else has the words of life? Who else is it that is the life giver? Who else is it that owns it all?" And so as long as we don't lose you, Lord, then we can let all the eggs fall out of the basket and break if they will. But we still have everything if we have you. Don't be afraid to lose it all. Don't be afraid to give your all. Don't hold back. I remember, you see, when I first started preaching, I was afraid that, boy, I'd get a sermon I thought I was really going to enjoy. And I got to thinking, man, I hate to preach all this at one time because I could use some of this the next Sunday or the next. No, it's kind of like you can't store manna because it's going to canker. And so whatever God gives you to do, do it with everything you've got. Do it with all your might. And don't hold back anything that might lift him up or make it better as people see in him. And so don't be afraid to give your all, to just chunk it in there, to say, "Lord, I'm telling you," the poor widow, you know, she gave a big offering, which was an amount of 2 mites. And nobody was going to, in the world, was going to take notice of that. Now, maybe if a king put his crown in the offering plate, but 2 mites was going to be missed by almost anybody. But it was celebrated by who? Jesus. Why? Because he said, in most cases, we're given out of our abundance, out of our overflow. But he said, she's give all that she could give. She give all she had. And he said, this is going to be recorded. This is going to go down. I'm going to keep a record of it. And I want you to, too. And so don't be afraid to lose it all. I think today we're afraid the stock market's going to crash. We're afraid the government's going to fold. And all those things may happen. I ain't kidding you. I've never seen us in quite the shape we are. But I'm not here to celebrate that. I'm here to celebrate that even if it does, God still got us in his right hand. God still owns everything. And God, well, I'm young and now I'm old. And I've yet to see God's children forsaken or his seed bagging bread. I'm telling you, God can feed you and take care of you and shelter you. And it won't even cause him to work up a sweat. Isn't that something? And they can't steal that. They can't vote it out. They can't change the laws and get it. They ain't nothing they can do about it. Except be miserable when you have it and not want you to think it's worth anything. That you should sell your birthright for 30 pieces of silver, 20 if it come up to it. Don't lose your job over Christ because, you know, don't overdo it about this, you know. If you don't want to do this or that or the other with some of the bosses after work that might not be according to some of your church etiquette, then you don't want to lose your job, do you? You don't want to lose your situation, do you? Yeah, lose your situation if you have to. and just do it with pleasure because he takes notice of that. And what is everything supposed to bring you anyway? If it's not bringing you joy and gladness, what's it worth? And you find people, a lot of times it's got a lot, and they're as miserable as they can be. Do you want to be miserable? No. And so let it go if necessary, and stay with Christ no matter what, no matter the outcome, no matter the consequences. You know, give me Jesus or give me death if you want to, because death ain't a problem either if you're a child of God. Moving on to the next one. Leave it all. I mean, just leave it all. I'm just going to leave it all. I remember one time he was talking about that, and the disciples said, "Well, Lord, you know, we've pretty much dropped our nets and followed you. I mean, we just about went out of the fishing business. And what, you know, what about us?" And he didn't want them to get too big on that, and sometimes we do. But what he did want them to know is that nothing that's ever confiscated or lost for the cause of Christ puts you in misery, because your misery is not attached to what you have. Your joy is not attached to the things around you. If they are, you can be miserable. If you're attached to it, you need to. That's how you're going to know you are, is if it makes you miserable, if you're afraid you're going to lose it, if you're afraid somebody's going to break in and steal it, you know, he says, let's put things where they can't do that. Let's have our affection somewhere else. Let's make our main interest something other than worldly things. And then good luck to getting it. Get it. You can have it all anyway. He owns it all, and I'm going to be a joint heir, he said. And so I don't mind if you get a few eggs. Don't matter to me. They can be the best eggs in the hen house. Don't be afraid to leave it all. And don't be afraid to forsake it all. Forsake it all. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. You know. Oh, man. And then at the end, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell. Sweet hour of prayer. Man, yeah. Now, you might want to, that might be something you'd think you might miss. It'd be closer than some of this other stuff that we worry about. Bill Fitz is around, and how would you like to have a house so big and so special that you had to have a slew of servicemen, secret guys, to walk around your walls at night and make sure somebody don't steal your garden hose? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what is that? What is that? But what is this when you lay down on a pillow and your wife is there and she's safe and she's, you know, she's okay, and you know that, and you've had a little something to eat and had a little something to drink, and you know that heaven is waiting around the corner and that all this is not for naught? And so what? Forsake it all. He is no fool who forsakes what he cannot keep to reach out for what cannot be taken from him in this world or the next. No, that's quite a wise person. A couple of other points and we'll be done. If it's necessary, don't be afraid to speak out. Speak out. And I can tell you, that just sounds like you're boasting, but I lost a job one time for speaking out. But it was amazing how it worked out. And before the last little inkling went out, the church at Chandler Mountain called us, and the last check that we received from where we received it was, when it ran out, I got my first thing from Chandler Mountain Baptist Church. See, these are not coincidences. These are not accidental happenings. This is where God, you know, don't be afraid to trust him, okay? Don't be afraid to trust him. You know, just don't be afraid to, because he's proved it. He's trustworthy. Now that job ain't trustworthy. You might not have lost it that day, but I could have lost it some other time if I'd been trying to save it or whatever. But don't try to do that. Try to serve God. Try to please him. Don't do it arrogantly. Don't try to be a show-off. Don't try to just, you know, spit in their eye and tell them you're a Christian and blah, blah, blah. That's not a good witness either. But if it comes down to it, then, you know, smile over your choice, because it's the right one. And now then, and speaking out, let's go to the scripture a minute. Old blind Bartimaeus sitting on the roadside, and he hears Jesus is coming. And he knows what that means. When Jesus comes, things happen. And so when Jesus is in the house, when Jesus is on the road, when Jesus is moving through the crowd, then it's not time to remain silent if you have a great need. And he had a great need. And so he's crying out, and they're saying, hold your peace, buddy. You know, don't do that. He's a busy man. He's got a lot going on here. And we ain't got time for his foolishness and blind man with a cup and all that stuff. Just hold your peace. And he said, hold my peace, nothing. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Boy, he put it out there just loud then, and so everything just kind of stopped, you know. And they were upset about that. He's messed up the show. Then we had a big parade going here. We had a lot of influential people standing around, and now we got this guy over here that can't see, and he's stopping everything. Yeah, he did. He stopped blindness in that sense, because the son of David, the son of God, the first and the last, had the power to restore his sight, and he did. And let me tell you something, which would you rather have, $10,000 or your eyesight? I could put a lot more on than that. How much would you give for your heart that pumps your blood? How much would you give for your brain that lets you know who your kids are and your grandkid? How much is that worth? How much would you let that go for? God that made this magnificent thing called humanity and made it in His image and gave us His Son to die for us, then is there anything that He wouldn't also add to that if there's a need in your life? I'm telling you, no. If He'll give you the Son of God, the darling of the heavenly, then there is nothing that you need that He'll hold back. Now, sometimes you may get your wants mixed up with your needs. And sometimes what you need is to lose all instead of gain a bunch of stuff. But whether you live or whether you die, you're His, and give glory to God just like old Job did. Either way it goes. If you think I ought to curse God, you're foolish, because it's God that owns it all. It's God that gives it all. And so don't be afraid to speak out, and don't be afraid to reach out. You know, sometimes we're afraid we better hang on to what we've got. We better hunker down. We better not move right or left. I nearly drowned like that one time. We'd swimmed under a pier in the project. They had piers out there in the rich section. We didn't have no piers in the project. But anyway, we'd swim down there where they had piers. And anyway, and if you went under it, you could still breathe under there, and sometimes you could hide out from the gang. But on this particular day, it rained so much that the water was right up to the bottom of the pier. And so when I swam under and come up expecting to get a big old mouthful of air, there was no air. And one of my friends grabbed my foot because he thought there was air under there, and he was going to monkey with me. And he was bigger than me and older than me, and he wasn't going to let go. And the harder I tried to get loose, the harder he held on. And finally, somehow, I don't know, God's grace, he let me go, and I come out closest to drowning than I ever was. And don't be afraid. Reach out. The woman had the issue of blood. I mean, she was getting worse by the day. She'd spent everything she had. If it was going to take money to get her filled, money wasn't going to help her. Sometimes there's things going to happen to you that money ain't going to buy. You know that? There's going to be things that come in your life that money's not going to get you out of, that the Blue Cross Blue Shield ain't going to get you out of. And so at that moment then, what matters? Who matters? You know, even your kids, as much as they love you, even Caleb, who better love me, there's nothing they can do at some of those moments. And so who can do it? And yeah, there is one. And so when the doctors are backing up and shaking their heads, and the nurses are backing up, and the preacher's shaking his head and backing up, and everybody's backing up, and everybody's saying, he's going. On the other side, quite a difference is taking place for a child of God. They're saying, he's coming. Yeah, he's coming. That's why I died on the cross, so he could come here and be with us. Death is the last enemy. But death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. I want to be mixed in with something like that. That's where I want to put all my eggs. That's where I'll put my hope. That's where I want my investment to be. That's where my DVDs are going to be. That's where my hope is. Because when everything else falls short, he stands tall. Yeah, man. And so everybody's backing up and getting weak in this old body, you know, it's trying to do what you've been hoping to do for a while, maybe. And then all of a sudden, have you ever thought about what happens right after a Christian dies? Think on that some. If you want to think about rich, if you want to think about inheritance, if you want to think about what's coming, then think about what happens. Precious in the sight of God are the death of his saints. And so, man, it just got the best it could be for them. And so don't trade that. Don't sell your birthright for that. Don't give anything for that. And then don't be afraid to stand out if necessary. In the world today, they're still doing this like blind Bartimaeus, you know, blend in. Now, they'll celebrate what ain't supposed to be celebrated, and they'll call national holidays almost for it and stop everybody from working to do things. But not the Bible, not the church, not the God, not Jesus. Oh, no, that's a whole other matter. That's to be done in the closet. That's to be done somewhere behind the scene. That's where it offends us for you to do that. You know. So keep your peace. Hold your peace. Mm-mm. Tell you what you ought to do. If Jesus is coming by and you're short, find you a tree. Find you a tree. Sycamore tree will do. And just, you know, and I'm talking about important people here, tax people and all kind of folks. You know, I've got some constituents. I got some things to uphold here. I can't just be out looking like a fool in front of everybody. I can't do that. Jesus coming, where's that tree at? And just shimmy up that tree. Everybody's saying, man, don't you look at that guy? That's one of the chief dudes up there, and he's climbing a tree, and you know, what a fool he is. I'll tell you something else. They thought Noah was a fool, too, when he built an ark, and it never rained. You say never? Bible says never. A little mist came up and watered the vegetation, but it never rained. And so he's out there saying it's going to rain. They're saying, sure, yeah. Tell us about that, you silly man. What are you talking about going to rain? But it rained. It sure did rain. And Zacchaeus got to see the master. Yeah, so don't be afraid. If you've got to stand alone, stand. If you've got to stand for God and it's going to be embarrassing, be embarrassed. If you've got to kneel on an altar and you're afraid everybody's going to laugh at you for kneeling, kneel anyway. Somebody said, pray anyway, preach anyway, sing anyway. All right. And in closing, don't be afraid to step out either. I think sometimes we're so comfortable in our comfort zone that we don't want anything messing with that. We're comfortable right where we are. Well, hooray for that. But let me tell you something. It's better to humble yourself, church, than to be proud and let God do it for you. Because God will, can, does humble his children. Never doubt it. Do you know why? Because it's the best thing he can do for you besides mercy. God knows that if you're humble, there is nothing that can't happen. God knows that if two or three are gathered together in his name and in unity and together on it, then God is pleased. If there's two or three, he says, I'm flat going to be there. And that's what I love about Eddie. I've told you, it ain't about numbers, y'all. Now, I want us to get some more. I do. I want us to get our kids and our grandkids and our cousins and at subdivision over yonder. I start praying for them right now. But it's not so that everybody can be proud of Eddie. No. I just want people to know that Eddie's a place to come to be healed, to be forgiven, to be loved on, and to meet Christ. That's what we want to be known for. Let us be the littlest of the least as far as that goes, as long as we're the biggest of the best in the sight of God. That's all that matters. And so, don't be afraid to step out. We're living in a world today where it's scary to step out. You'll be labeled if you step out. Some churches, if they keep doing what they're doing as far as honoring God, they're going to be persecuted more and more and more. And they're going to come after you. I remember, and I don't know what time it is, y'all. I'm sorry. But I ain't sorry. But I am trying to close, honest to goodness. But I remember when I preached down at Chandler Mountain. And I said, what if somebody says you can't come? You know, we get to come to church. But what if somebody, you know, what if they put a bunch of tanks out there and put concrete slab in front of that door and all the doors and said, you're not coming here anymore. What do you do? Not long after that, our church got condemned. The same Chandler Mountain, the roof was caving in, and we didn't know it till a bright light at Christmas shined on it, and we was doing a Christmas play, and the ceiling was wavy. Ceilings ought not to be wavy. And so the engineer came in and put yellow tape across the door and said, you're not going back in there. Wow. That wasn't what I was thinking about. I was thinking about guns and tanks. But we could not use our sanctuary anymore. It's a special place, y'all. Do you not feel this is a special place? It's a dedicated place. It should be. But what if they say you can't go back in there? So what we had to do was go down to a fellowship hall that turned into a youth building. It used to be an old sanctuary, and it was where a lot of our folks got saved in that old building. And so instead of it hurting us, the first Sunday over there, I've never seen anything like it. It wasn't near as big, pretty, as comfortable as that old our sanctuary was. But it didn't matter. It was God was there, and our memories, and 4 or 5 people got saved that day. And we were thinking, man, you know, if we'd have known this, you know, maybe we'd put some concrete bars up ourselves. You never know what God's going to do out of something that seems bad. You never know. I can promise you one thing, children of God. Whatever he does, it's going to be good for you. And it's going to bless you, and it's going to help your family be better. And so let them do what they will. Let them, you know, if they feel like it somehow Eddie Baptist Church is a threat to them, and I kind of hope they do, then, you know, let them close us first. Kingdom of God, though, is not in this building. Lo, the kingdom of God is within you. Let's stand together. Let's get a song. This week, we're going to work them. Last week, I saw the invitation. Last week, I was beside myself, but I ain't apologizing for it. But I want you to be beside yourself today. What's our number, brother?
212.
We're going to sing number 212, but what I want you to do is, what number? 2 or 3?
12.
Oh, just 12.
I'm sorry.
I thought the 2 in there, didn't I?
212, you're right.
212? Man, even when I'm wrong, I'm right. Listen. Listen. Is God speaking to you today? Let him have his way. You know, shame yourself if you have to. Sometimes people can't get down anymore. Did you know it's hard for me? Well, it's not hard to get down. It's just hard to get up. And so if I'm going to get down, I want to get down, I may have to get down right here. Yes. And when it gets time to get up, I'll do this. Just keep getting down. Just keep humbling. Harder it is, the more I think it's an offering to God. The more the bones crack and the more the bones and muscles hurt, but yet, and you ain't got to bow either. Sometimes it's impossible for your body to do that. Sometimes you're just laying in the bed and you can't move at all. But your heart can get on its knees. And your spirit can be humble, and that's what it's all about. But let's sing this song today and become your own accuser. You know, don't wait for something else to happen. Don't wait for God to say, depart from me. Just be your own accuser and say, God, it's me. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not. It's me, O Lord. It's me. Let's sing. Stand again. Love you, Eddie Baptist Church. He loves you more. Let him love on you today. Put your head in his bosom. Let him hold your hand. Let him spit on your eyes. Touch your heart. Let him have your cancer. Let him have your heart problem. Let him have your sicknesses and your distress. Let him have the worst things that's ever happened to you. Let him have the things that others done to you that they had no right to do. And let God have that and see what he gives you back in his place. Try. Just try and see. don't even know if I can do this yet. But y'all can call me out of order, because I've been out of order about 5 times since I've been here. But I want you to have an opportunity to join the church, however we have to do that. It might be the moderator that's been moderator. I'm not even a member yet, I don't guess, because you ain't got my letter from Mount Zion. But we want people that know they're supposed to be here to get to be here. You know what I'm saying? And don't look at this like something you have to do. If God is leading you, it's something you get to do. Last Sunday, me and my wife got to join Eddie Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you something. If y'all don't think I was happy, you know. And so, you know, we're not looking for everybody. We just want those that God sends our way, that God leads here. That's who we're after. We want all of them. So let's sing a verse of song. And any way that Eddie Baptist Church authorizes to receive a member, we're going to open that to you today. Bless you. Appreciate your patience and your prayers and your time. And we might not do this every Sunday, but I feel so good, we're going to feed you today. You know, I'm the pastor around here. I got some say now. Y'all got to start paying me more respect. I have this least power you ever saw, but I'm the happiest fellow you ever saw too. But we're glad you're here. We hope you'll stay and eat with us. And we're going to eat over yonder. Isn't that right? So you may have to walk for your dinner, or you might get in your car and drive over there. I don't know exactly how you want to handle it. But if you want something to eat, I done heard about these folks, and they can cook sure enough. So don't count yourself unworthy. Any announcement needs to be said, Brother Randall, anybody? He's my buddy. He acts like he forgets stuff, because y'all know I do. So I appreciate that, brother. God bless you. Man, I appreciate it. I just want to preach about Jesus. And I thank you, because I feel like you want to hear about Jesus. So let's just keep that going. All right, everybody. You want to say our prayer for our blessing here? It might be better. Let's do that. Let's all bow our heads, and we'll just ask God's blessing on the service, on the food, on the fellowship afterward, and on your lives and on your people. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Lord, we love you, but we realize, God, you first loved us. And so, Lord, loving you is a gift. It's just a pleasure. It's the outpouring of all that you do for us and all that you've done and all you're going to do. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray that on this fellowship and on the meal and all those wonderful people that spent their time and their money to make it possible, God, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll eat it for your glory, that the fellowship will be strong because of it, and that we can honor you better through it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn around and shake hands, somebody. There you are. Shake your neighbor's hand. I'm fixing to go take his wet shirt off and get me a